All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back to your favorite WMMA podcast, hashtag CB99Talks. This is episode 114. And, of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. Back again, guys. What's going on? Back with another episode here. Just so y'all know in the chat, this is not live, but it is pre-recorded like usual. So, you know, y'all can hang around in the chat and talk it up. And you can agree and disagree with me all you want while I'm speaking, and I'll come back and look at it later. All right. But yeah, man, we back with another one, guys. A few different things I want to talk about in this episode. Of course, you know, going all the way back to last Wednesday to Invicta FC 51. Man, that's crazy, man. It's already Tuesday, and I'm coming back to talk about Invicta. Invicta feels like it was just over the weekend, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, days be flying by. Days be flying by, man. But anyways, my plan was to come back on and talk about it, you know, like, on this episode anyway, you know, like I do like a week, just like a week WMMA wrap up sometimes, you know, fights on a Friday, we talk about it on a Monday, right? So yeah, I want to definitely get into Invicta FC and kind of just go through the fights and, you know, talk a little bit about each one. Not really like break them down, because y'all watched it with me. Y'all saw me break down the fights and I gave y'all my thoughts then, but just in case y'all missed the card, we can talk about it here. So, yeah, going back to Wednesday, we're going to discuss these fights, of course. Then we're going to talk about this past Saturday's fights, WMA fights on UFC 283 a little bit. Let's talk about Jalcian Nunes, what's next for her and Zara. Lauren Murphy, you know, Lauren Murphy been taking to Twitter. She had a few things to say. And that's, you know, really one of the topics of this episode, too, is, you know, when enough is enough and when the trainer really needs to step in. I talked about this in boxing before, one of my boxing shows, but I want to talk about it with y'all because it seems like people don't understand and fighters don't understand that there has to be a point. There has to be a point when a trainer says enough is enough, right? Now, I'm not pointing fingers in this particular situation this time because, I mean, y'all do you, you know, you do you, but I'm just saying from my opinion, you know, that's something I want to go over in this episode. All right. And also, Sarge, you know, I just want to hit y'all with some news on Sarge. Y'all know the deal with her and, Irene Aldana. Apparently Irene Aldana saying the fight's not made. So, you know, we're going to discuss that a little bit and see what's going on there. Jessica Andrade, talk about her a little bit, you know? So yeah, man, make sure I hit the like button and make sure you subscribe. You know, if you enjoy talking some WMMA with me, man. Yeah, so going back to last Wednesday, shout out to everybody that tuned into the fight companion with me. Had a A lot of people all the way in there till after midnight. I was about ready to get off. I ain't gonna lie, man. Invicta FC, they need to move them cards up to 7 p.m. Eastern time now, man. I ain't joking. 9 p.m. And you know you got 7 or 8 fights. On top of that, look, I ain't bashing fighters here, but on top of that, the fights are going the distance, man. Every single fight went the distance. Like I said, I'm not knocking it. You know, I love a knockout and a submission. All right. I love a knockout and submission, but I'll take a decision if it's a good, entertaining fight. And for the most part, all of these fights were entertaining, but I would have loved to finish somewhere in between just to cut back on the time that I was on. I'm like, dang, man, we were going into like 1 o'clock talking about and watching these fights. So I was like, man, come on, somebody get knocked out. Somebody get submitted, right? But I was expecting a few finishes, but nah, man, we didn't get any finishes. And, you know, that's a question I got for y'all. Like, is that like, I'll talk about it towards the end of this breakdown, but is that like a turnoff for y'all? Like, if a card, WMA card, has no finishes, like, do you take away from it? You know, is it a downfall for the promotion of the sport? Think about that. So, yeah, man, had 7 fights on his card, 2 title fights. Of course, that was what was going to make it long. You know, we had 10 rounds between the co-main event and the main event. Overall, I enjoyed the card. You know, we had some up-and-comers that I like, some tough veterans on this card. You know, a couple of good, solid contenders and good champion as well. Yeah, I enjoyed the card overall. You know, it was fun. There was never really like a boring moment on this one. I think all the ladies did put it online, but like I said, there was just never really any full-on power displayed in this fight, in any of these fights. And you know, that's just something we got to deal with sometimes. You know, I don't think this was the first time we had all decisions on a Invicta card, but you know, if it wants more fans, you know, fighters are gonna have to show up and start stopping people, right? You know, this is just a heads up for the ladies, you know, that want to bring in the casual fans. You know, I mean, I'm always going to tune in. Like I said, I'm always going to tune in as long as it's a good fight. All right. So, yeah, man, to kick it off, we had Fatima Klein. Fatima Klein got a decision win over Laura Gallardo in a very entertaining fight. It was a good way to kick it off. I'm not going to lie. I thought Klein was going to go in there and get a finish at some point, but Gallardo, she showed up. And when I remembered, I was like, you know, Gallardo got some skills. She got some well-rounded skills. She got hands. She's a solid striker in that southpaw stance, and she's gritty. But Fatima Klein, solid grappler, really good with her wrestling, physically strong for this division, throwing her hands back. I mean, Gallardo was probably sharper with the hands, but that didn't stop Fatima Klein from throwing. That didn't stop her from landing shots of her own. And first round, I gave the Gallardo. I don't know why the judges didn't see that. You know, she was landing some sharp, crisp shots on Fatima Klein. Fatima Klein put a lot of pressure on her, of course, but she was getting tagged a lot in that first round. But second, third, she settled in, and she was just really out-wrestling Gallardo, you know, just really putting that strength on her and taking her down and picking her up, you know, physical strength, man. Like, she's picking her up off the ground and slamming her, you know, and putting those long-winged shots on Gallardo's chin. So I think it was a clear winner in this fight, but I thought they just kind of robbed her that round, you know. And when we get that open scoring sometimes and you see that, it kind of discourages you a little bit, because then you're like, uh-oh, this should have been tied up by round 2, but now I'm behind, right? So, yeah, I had Fatima Klein winning. Just thought she won that first round. Gallardo won that first round. I think Fatima Klein is showing really good skills, a well-rounded fighter at 3-0. She knows her ground game is solid, but, you know, she's really working on her hands. And I think what we're seeing from her at this early stage in her career, we can definitely see her start to, you know, really, really turn it up. And I believe she'll probably get a title shot maybe by the end of the year or maybe next year. They just want to, you know, move her slowly. But, yeah, I definitely see title shot in her future. Next fight we had was Rayan dos Santos versus Katie Saul, who got a decision. Rayan dos Santos got a decision win over Katie Saul. I was picking Katie Saul in this one, but she just let Rayan Amanda dos Santos, I'll call her Rayan. Rayan just really settled into a groove and started picking her shots on Katie Saul. Like, Katie Saul was really having trouble using her reach in this fight. You know, Rayan was really touching her with these single shots, touching the leg, being first, and even putting her on the ground. I mean, Katie had some moments where I thought she was going to get that arm bar, but every time Rand would just slip out of it and go back to ground and pound or standing back up and just outlanding her. So, I think Rand Amanda just was too tough in this one, too fast, and just always one step ahead of Katie Saw. You know, Katie Saw was on like a two-fight win streak. Definitely been improving as a fighter. Just needs to start to let go and use that reach a little bit more. That's why I never really say, like, these tall, long fighters have an advantage until they actually know how to use it, right? So, yeah, man, good fight. That was another good one. Unanimous decision win for Ray and Dos Santos. The next fight on the card was, let's see. Is that her right there? Oh, no, that's the okay, here we go. Another Adam Waite fight was Alessandra Fieria versus Mesa Belencia. All right. Now, I've seen Fieria fight before. She's fought for PAWFC. I think she was fighting for Pallas Athena's title. And she got done dirty in that fight. I remember like the fight went to like a technical decision because her opponent was, you know, getting off some dirty, dirty moves throughout the fight. I mean, eye pokes, I think a knee to the head while she was down. Just multiple like dirty tactics, and it winds up going to the card, and the other girl winds up winning the championship. So, you know, Fieria, I wanted to see more from her, and she's bouncing back here in Invicta. Got a split decision win over Belencia. I thought Fieria was a clear winner, but she was not sticking to the game plan that was working. Now, right off top, Belencia came straight in, putting the pressure on, pressure boxing. But Fieri was boxing nicely off the back foot, landing hard shots, cracking Belencia. But Belencia, what did she do? Clenched up because she didn't want that power, right? That was smart on her. But it should have been on Fieri to take this fight to the ground or get that dirty boxing in, you know, grab that neck, start landing them elbows, and little uppercuts on the inside, get your opponent to get up off you, right? So Fieri won this fight, but to me, she was lacking that next level. You know, she was lacking that next level. She was landing and tagging Belencia, but she didn't know how to break free. Like, she didn't know how to handle the clinch very well. You know, she did not know how to handle that clinch and get this type of fighter off of her, right? Belencia, you know, when she tasted that power, she never quit, but she would just try to tie up and try to, you know, panic wrestle a little bit. And Fieria, you know, would just kind of use these little tactics on the inside of trying to hold and, you know, buy some time and land a few shots on the inside, but she wasn't aggressive enough. But to me, she clearly won the fight. They had it as a split decision, but I gave it to Fieria. Claire Guthrie versus Autumn North. Bantamweight fight. Good fight. Very good fight. Shout out to Claire Guthrie. She's growing as a fighter. After that tough house, she's really, really been on like a hunger path of getting better as a fighter. And I'm not going to lie, Bantamweight looks like it could be her weight. You know, she looks strong. She's well-rounded. You know, she actually was out-striking Autumn Norton. I was picking Autumn Norton to win by stand-up. And, you know, Autumn Norton, you know, she's got that power and slickness, but she was just a couple clicks behind, man. She was just, I was going to say one step behind, but she was a few steps behind Claire Guthrie in this fight. You know, she continued to fight behind Claire Guthrie. Claire Guthrie was using lateral movement, using her range, boom, boom, letting off some leg kicks, letting off some shots straight up the middle. Autumn Norton got in a few shots. He drew some blood on Claire Guthrie, but Claire Guthrie started shooting in for takedowns. I mean, coming straight in and just taking Autumn Norton down, you know, taking her straight down. And Autumn was able to bounce back up. I like the athleticism she has, but when she get back to her feet, you know, she needed to be first. You know, you got to be first in there with them hands because Claire Guthrie, you know, she's going to be looking for takedowns. And I saw a couple of moments where Autumn didn't freeze up, but there were moments where she just was waiting, like she was trying to set a trap. So Claire Guthrie said, "Oh, you're going to wait?" Dove right in and took her down. Just simple as that. Textbook takedowns, you know. So Claire Guthrie definitely won this fight. Autumn Norton, definitely she can come back from this one. She's still good on the feet. Just has to be able to counter wrestle at times, work on the takedown defense, and be first. That's a big part of, you know, some of the things that I need to see some of these girls do is just be first, you know, be first with your shots. Many trainers say that even in boxing, Teddy, they be first, right? Be first. Fourth, fifth fight fifth fight. Another bantamweight fight here. Let's go ahead and pull that up there. All right. Olga Rubin versus Serena De Jesus. Serena De Jesus missed weight by a couple pounds, I believe. Olga Rubin came in on point. She was ready to go. Showed in her performance. She got a unanimous decision over Serena De Jesus. Good banger, man. Good fight. Olga Rubin, she was tagging Serena De Jesus in this fight. I mean, Serena, she's one of them dogs, man. She likes to come in there, prove her toughness. She'll take shots, then say, I want more, I want more. So you give her more. Olga Rubin did smart on that. When a fighter asks for more, you give them more. You know, you don't win by showing how tough your chin is, right? So Olga Rubin was constantly planting that left hand on the chin of Serena. Serena was in this fight. You know, she would throw combinations, but after about the first shot or second shot, third and fourth were usually kind of graze on the arms of Olga Rubin. Olga Rubin was much more sharper in the pocket, you know, landed good 1-2s, hurt Serena a couple of times in this fight. Thought she was going to get her out of there. I think it was like the second round. Had that leg doing that dance. You know, I was like, Olga's on a warpath here. You know, she's landing big shots. Definitely a stronger, smarter fighter in this one. Serena, she's tough. She's tough, but definitely has to show that level of IQ in a fight. You know, got to be a little bit more patient. Don't look to just storm forward and walk into this fire like that. You get burnt that way. You know, so yeah, Olga Rubin clearly won this fight. Good shots like this you see in this picture landed. Very, very sharp left hands from Olga Rubin. I felt like she won every single round in this one. Okay, so going to the co-main event. Christina Rose, man. Christina Rose versus, excuse me, Christina Williams, sorry. I don't know why I was thinking of Rose. Why was I thinking of Rose? I think she kind of looks like Rose or something before. Is it just like kind of embedded in my mind? Anyways. Christina Williams versus Ketlyn Souza. I know some of y'all picked Ketlyn Souza to win this one. I thought Christina Williams was going to win it. You know, she was working pretty hard to get to this point. But Ketlyn Souza, unanimous decision. I think she clearly won the fight after the first round. Wait a minute. Did I give Christina Williams the first two rounds and then give Ketlyn Souza the last three or four? Regardless. I think Christina Williams, her best round was the first round. You know, she was showing a well-rounded game. You know, she was striking, you know, landing good shots, the clinch. She was showing the strength in there, you know, doing a little bit of everything. But she, after the first round, she let Ketlyn get into that in-and-out groove, you know, just kind of picking her apart, using the speed, using these spin kicks, you know, touching the chin, touching the body. Landing in good little singles, actually having success on the ground on Christina Williams. Christina Williams just kind of got slower, I believe, after that cut she suffered. But the thing is, like, her cut men, they did a good job on this cut. You know, it wasn't like it was pouring in her eye. You know, they stopped it after, I think, was round two. After, like, round two, they stopped the bleeding. And I thought she could see clearly, but it was something about that cut, you know, kind of had her just fighting at a slower pace. She was just doing a lot of waiting. You know, she couldn't cut the octagon off. She was just letting this faster, smaller fighter get off on her. And, you know, I think that called for her to be that blanket. You know, you had to put pressure on, cut the ring off, cut the octagon off, start landing power shots and get her in that tie clinch. You know, Christina Williams, she's big, long. I wanted to see her get that tie clinch, just start landing knees to the body, but she just let those rounds fall. And Ketlyn Souza just continue to kind of pick her apart and even have success with takedowns, you know, getting her down to the ground. So, yeah, Ketlyn Souza, shout out to the new flyweight Invicta FC champion. All right. And the main event. Oh, man, the main event. All right. Talita Bernardo versus Tanisha Tennant. Tanisha Tennant, man. Oh, man. Shout out to Tanisha. Much respect. You know, she's a good, solid fighter. Good, solid fighter, man. But I think her level was shown Wednesday night against Talita Bernardo. On top of that, shout out to Talita. Talita definitely looked better than she did in her last two fights, which she won. But this fight here, she was prepared for. So I got to give props to Talita Bernardo to the fullest because she looked halfway decent in her last few fights, even though she won, but she knew she was going into a championship fight and she made the right improvements, even in her stand-up game. So I have to give her credit there. Tanisha, on the other hand, man, I think she was just a little bit too tentative in this fight, a little too timid as well. didn't fully sit down on her punches when I believe that the game plan should have just been fully knock this girl out, land with power and authority, or keep the jab in her face and pick her apart. I know everybody gonna say, oh, it's easier to say it from the outside, but no, man, like we've seen how Talita Bernardo can be prone to the right hand, right? And we've seen Tanisha Tennant's striking level. So put those two things together, should have been an easy win for Tanisha Tennant. Well, I won't say easy, but there should have been a lot of opportunities for her to find the knockout or find a way to just slice up Talita Bernardo in this fight. But no, Talita came in, landed beautiful leg kicks, actually, you know, getting reaction out of Tanisha with her leg kicks and just taking this fight straight to the ground. I mean, there was a scare in the first round. She got the back of Tanisha, almost got a rear naked choke, but shout out to Tanisha. She had good ground defense, you know, good survival skills on the ground, which kind of reminded me of Marina Rodriguez. You know, it's a lot of survival skills. It's not enough because you got to be more defensive so you can get more reversals and actually win rounds, right? So she was surviving a lot throughout these rounds of being taken down and being submitted. Well, you know, she was being taken down, but she was surviving a lot of the submission attempts, but she's still losing these rounds. You know, I think, you know, she had a few moments where she was getting in some good shots on Talita where Talita was on her back, but that was where Tanisha should have stepped back and let the fight go back to stand up. But she was in a couple of moments where she could have got submitted in a via heel hook, you know, or a foot lock. So just little things like that, just little things like that in rounds like 2 and 3. I wanted to see Tanisha get the fight back to the get it back to the feet. All right. And she did bust Talita Bernardo a couple of times in this fight. And I was like, here we go. Get her out. But Talita said, nope, going back to the ground. So, yeah, it was a good fight. I might actually go back and watch the fight, do a little breakdown, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. Because this is like I was saying, man, this fight was basically striker versus grappler. It was lion versus crocodile. You know, the lion being Tanisha in this one, keep the fight on the plains. You know, bring that crocodile out, only attack the crocodile when it's in your realm. You know, when the crocodile steps into the water, you got to take a step back. And I mean, this picture kind of describes it right here. You know, Tanisha, let her out, you know, let her out. You know, you step here, she's going to get you to the ground. She's going to pull you in the water. You might drown, right? I mean, Talita, she's an expert here on the ground. You know, everybody knows that. Now, on the feet, not so sharp, but she did do enough to polish up her skills. So I give her credit there. But yeah, man, I had Talita Bernardo winning every round. I think it was competitive, but I gave every round to Talita. I'm just being real because I want to see Tanisha do better. I ain't going to be one to just, you know, lie. Make excuses. I think that Tanisha needs to be a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more confident in her style and needed to be the dominant fighter. Make this girl fight your fight. You know, get her out of there. Get this girl out of there. Like Araujo did, like Katarina tried to, but she just didn't have the follow-up. You know, drop her. Put her on the seat of her pants. Finish her. Let her stand back up. Land them punches. You know, Tanisha's got that style. You know, she's got it. But as far as getting to the UFC right now, I think this was a blessing because you can learn from this and say, hey, this is what I need to work on from here, right? Yeah, shout out to Talita Bernardo, new bantamweight 135-pound champion. She wanted it. She announced it back in January, and she got it, right? Tanisha just got to go back to the drawing board and work, and I think really work on her takedown defense, work on her wrestling, you know, because I think that's going to be a big part of handling some of these grapplers, using that wrestling to be able to kind of ragdoll these girls off and even like get them in positions that they're not ready for. Right. So, yeah, UFC, is still a little off because, these physical fighters, these fighters that come in to kill, the fighters that even unranked, they could be dangerous. You know, even like a Myra Buena Silva could be dangerous at this point. You know, Carol Rosa could be dangerous. Norma Dumont, if she ever makes 135, could be dangerous. Right. So, yeah, that's just what it is, man. I hope she'll bounce back, you know, definitely. You know, I believe if she wanted a rematch, she's entitled to it because, you know, she's undefeated leading up to this fight in Invicta FC, right? Technically, to me, she's really undefeated, Tanisha Tennant is. I mean, Danielle Wolfe didn't win that fight, right? So, I mean, if she wants a rematch, hey, give it to her, right? I definitely wouldn't deny her that. So yeah, overall it was a good card. Good card. Like I said, every fight was a decision. So that's the question for y'all. How'd y'all like the fights? And do you think every single fight going the distance will be a turnoff for more fans trying to get into WMMA? That's the question. What do y'all think about that? I think it might, because, you know, most guys, they want to see finishes. They want to see knockouts, you know, especially when you're getting into the 1 o'clock realm, you know, the after midnight realm. They'd be like, yo, give me a knockout now. I'm tired, you know. So, like I said, I got the time. I'll stay up and watch them. But your casual fans, they're going to see more. They're going to want to see, less is more, right? They'll want to see less time in the ring means more. You know, you don't get paid for overtime either. So, yeah. Good card, guys. Let me know what y'all think. Let's move on. All right. So what did y'all think about this fight, man? Josiane. I believe that's how y'all pronounce it now, right? From here on, after this episode, I got to say Josiane, right? I've been saying Josiane, but I guess the announcers say it's Josiane. That's how it's been communicated, Josiane Nunes. Okay. Zara Farron. I think Josiane Nunes needs to be a bantamweight. You know, I keep it short and simple on this one. I think Josiane definitely needs to be a bantamweight moving forward, man. She definitely showed some grit and ability to stay consistent. You know, she never stops trying. But the bigger the girls are, the bigger and better skilled these girls are at 145, you know, she's not going to be able to even have this type of success, right? Zara Farron's been out for about 2 years. She's big and long and had one good round. She probably could have finished Josiane in this fight, but she didn't. But the more the girls get a little bit more on that killer instinct tip, you know, you're going to have trouble, right? And I believe if she faces these type of tough girls at 135, she'll have more of a chance, because there'll be girls at 135 that are going to come after. But I believe at 135, she'll be about the right size, and she has the reach and the power to handle these fighters. But, I mean, really, you could see the size difference in this fight. This looked like Bea Malecki versus, what was her name? Veronica Macedo again. You know, that they're just that odd, awkward mismatch. But in this fight, Josiane actually won. So that kind of tells you what level Zara's on now, right? Zara Farron, this huge featherweight, couldn't even get this tiny featherweight out of there, or even like box her up and dominate her for three rounds, right? She couldn't even 30-27 it, right? So that says something about her level. So I think this was just kind of like a wake-up call for Josiane Nunes to say, okay, 135 might not be for me. Let me go to a full division where it's a little bit more competitive and the weight isn't too extreme, and neither is the size difference, right? I mean, the next time the size difference might look crazy is if she fights Ketlin Vieri or something like that, right? Ketlin or Yana Kutaskaya. But even then, with the way their chins are, I think she could land on them and actually, you know, get the fight to go her way. All right. As for Zara, hang on 1 second. All right. As for Zara, though, man, she's 0-3 in UFC, but I believe she might get another chance, or she should get another chance, because she's been out for 2 years before that. And I'm being nice, you know. I think that, you know, she deserves one more chance, because, you know, she got to pay her bills too, you know, just like anybody else. She's a fighter. And I think that, you know, after that little long layoff, you know, she wants to try at least one more time. You know, she said, okay, I came back, didn't get this one, looked decent for a round or two. But, and that's just me being nice. I mean, if the UFC does cut her, I can understand why. That's three in a row. That's how it usually is, right? And she hasn't shown that urgency and that dog and killer instinct to make us say, really, right? Real talk. I mean, she hasn't shown us that urgency to make us say she could win the next one, right? Like Arian Lipsky, she could go on like a 2 or 3 fight losing streak, but she still has something about her that could pull her through. Like, she has a puncher's chance, and she has improved in her last couple fights, right? So there's always that. Oh, even Angela Hill, you know, Angela Hill, like, she could go on like a 2-3 fight win streak, but she's not getting dominated. She's not getting finished. And if she does lose like two in a row, you can bet she'll bounce back because she will learn. She will learn from her mistakes. You know, that's how Angela Hill is. So fighters like that, you can still keep around. But if Zara does get cut, I wouldn't be surprised. I just think, hey, give her another chance. I don't know who against, but we'll see how that works out. Josiane, though, grit pulled her through this fight. Those big left hands never stopped trying. Definitely got to go down to 135, though. You know, I think that's where you'll see, like, a much more dangerous bantamweight and a much more dangerous Josiane at bantamweight. All right? Moving on. All right. Okay. Yeah, I ain't going to lie, BJ. Shout out to BJ. I kind of had y'all hypnotized a little bit about Lauren Murphy because, you know, I started looking at Lauren Murphy's size. And first off, man, this was a crazy fight. Lauren Murphy and Jessica Andrade. It was a crazy, 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 crazy beating from Jessica Andrade, man. And never pick against Jessica Andrade unless you're talking champions. Never pick against Jessica Andrade, for real. Lauren Murphy, I kind of thought she might have a chance. Never did I ever say I was fully going to pick her, though. I might have played with y'all's minds a little bit because I can do that. But that's on y'all. That's on y'all if y'all pick her, though. That's on y'all if y'all pick her. Like I said, what I say is what I say on my channel. It's how I'm feeling at the moment. I prefer that you just stick to your guns and disagree with me. If that's how y'all like it, just go ahead and say, oh, nah, you wrong. Don't even say that. You know, forget it. I ain't changing my pick. You know, if that's how y'all feel, stay there. But don't let me hypnotize you just because I'm thinking that Lauren might have a chance. I mean, I'm looking at her size. You know, she's been around and she hasn't been finished by anybody except the champion, right? And, you know, she's a big, strong flyweight, right? But then I started to take the age and the factor and just what Andrade can do, you know, and I said, okay, wait a minute. Lauren has zero defense. She likes to trade. She will take punches. Jessica Andrade likes to throw punches. And that's how I came up with my MMA math answer. Then I said, I'm not picking Lauren Murphy. You know, I said she has a chance again. People always get having a chance mixed up with, oh, I'm picking that fight. No, I just thought she might have a chance. I was wrong on that. But Andrade, she came through and won this fight. I mean, she did what she does. She did what she does, man. She goes in there and beats you down. The thing I was most impressed about Andrade's beating was it was very tactical this time around. Very tactical, very patient. You know, she wasn't doing a lot of home run swinging in here. And that's probably why she survived this fight. I had somebody mention that in the comment section. They asked me, would the old Andrade probably knock her out? Probably. Like, the old Andrade probably would have, like, broken a rib, you know, with a body shot, put her out, or probably knocked her out with the right hand. But I think in order to throw the volume she was throwing, you know, she had to kind of compromise the power a little bit. You know, to throw heavy shots, you commit more. They're slower, right? But Andrade's hand speed was a little bit faster here. So you could see that the power was there, but it was more of an accumulation power, you know, meaning that, you know, she took her foot off the gas a little bit to throw faster, right? She, you know, she was meeting her somewhere in the middle, throwing good combinations. So she was focused more on punch placement and throwing better punches, which I was proud of Andrade, proud over here, you know, because she was throwing more combinations here and making sure they were pretty placement punches. That's why she wasn't full on, like, landing, like, the home run shots. But, you know, she still has the one hitter quitter, but she wasn't loading up on it. So that's the dangerous Andrade that we saw Saturday night. The leg kick was like a baseball bat to the knee. You know, it was hitting the front of the knee, behind the knee. Lauren Murphy just could not set her feet to land anything. Body language was like a fighter that was trying to avoid the beating after the first and second round. Third round looked like a fighter that was done, really, you know. And that's why, leading into this, you know, this part of the topic, that's why a lot of people were arguing that the fight could have been stopped. You know, I understand where Lauren's coming from. Look, if Lauren Murphy hears this, I understand where you're coming from, but you got to see it the way the people are from the outside. Like, people don't come to see somebody just get, well, they'll watch a fight if you're getting mauled and beaten up, beaten to a pulp. But after a while, people will say, stop it. If you're not putting up a great fight or you're not making it competitive, even your hardcore bloodthirsty fan will say, man, I can't watch this anymore. The stomachs will turn. I remember before Roy Jones, he was ringside after his fight watching the James Toney versus Iran Barkley fight. And he said the same thing. You know, he was like, when James Toney was, you know, just pummeling Iran Barkley after so many rounds, it got to the point where you kind of like, ugh, you know, it turned your stomach. You can't watch anymore. So they stopped the fight after, I think, like the seventh or eighth round, you know? So I understand where he's coming from, you know, and that's coming from a boxer. That's coming from somebody that sees blood all the time and knocks people out. So for the average fan to complain about it or to say the fight should have been stopped, I see where they're coming from in this situation. Lauren Murphy, if you're listening, you know, Lauren, it has nothing to do with, you know, it has nothing to do with questioning your heart at that point. You know, we're talking about your life. Is fighting really your life? Is it really all your life at this point when you're 39? I'm 39. There's certain things that I'm letting go now. You know what I mean? I'm 39 too. And I'm like, yo, there's certain things that, hey, I'm not going to die for anymore. And I think there should come a point like that for every fighter. Like, fighting is not worth dying for when you get to a certain age, because it surely ain't your life. You know what I mean? There's better things out there, especially if you have kids. Lauren, if you have kids, you know, that's where people are coming from. They don't want to see you die in there. You know, you got to kind of kill that attitude. And same with the trainers in this point, I would have stopped the fight. You know, some people disagree, but as somebody that's closer to it than just the casual fans, I probably would have stopped the fight after the second round. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, yo, I'm looking in your eyes. I'm looking at your body language. You don't look like you in this. And we're talking about Andrade here. You know, we can't take punches like this from Jessica all night. You know what I mean? It's one thing if it's like a softer touch that was just kind of opening some cuts. We'll take it to the end. But if you're taking this type of beating all around, I don't know if I could let my fighter go on like that, because you were offering nothing. You won no rounds. You know what I mean? Andrade was spotless. So that's just how I feel. That's how I feel personally. Like, I don't want to see anybody die in there. You know what I mean? Like, the fighter always says, oh, I wouldn't go out on my shield, but that's the whole purpose of a trainer. You know, that's the whole purpose of a trainer. The trainer is the person in your corner, not to only give you pointers and let you know what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong, but they're that balance for whenever you're too high up in kill mode that they have to call the shots and say, nope, can't do it. Of course, as a fighter, you're going to want to go on, but the purpose of a cornerman, a good cornerman to me, is to say you've had enough. You know, they're the ones that tell you you had enough and they got to throw in that towel. You can come back another day. It has nothing to do with your heart, right? It's not like you quit if the trainer throws in the towel, or if you retire. It's not like you quit. I mean, there comes a point where if you have nothing to offer, you just got to stop, right? That's how I see it. But real quick, read this. Yeah, we can read this tweet right here, because this is what Lauren Murphy posted up after, I guess, hearing a lot of people talking about it, even online. But she said this on Twitter. Where were these people when Joanna looked like effing Megamind in her fight with Whaley? If they're concerned for safety, why weren't they screaming for her to be pulled? Competitive or not, shouldn't her safety have come first? Miss me with this double standard BS. Okay. So in that fight, yeah, okay, Joanna's head was on swole, and you probably could have stopped it. Like, if they did, I probably would have been like, oh, man, this fight was getting good. But at the same time, if you've seen how her head was a balloon, they could have stopped it. I'm not going to lie. They could have stopped it. Was I screaming for them to stop it that night? No, I wasn't screaming for it. But every punch that Joanna was taking kind of made me cringe. The way she was touching her head, I was touching my head the same way. All right. But the thing about it is, even through that head, Joanna's expression was, I'm ready to go. And the fight was back and forth and competitive. People feel like Joanna won that fight. They feel like she was 100% still in that fight. Okay. Looking in her eyes, looking at her movement, she was still landing on Whaley. She was still doing damage on Whaley. She was still in that fight. So if you were to stop that championship fight at some point in rounds four or like round three, I think that would have hurt Joanna in some way. I mean, after you go through all of that punishment, to think about that, okay, you have to look at it this way. The punishment she took was worth it at the time, right? It would have been even more so worth it if she had won the belt. That's how she would have probably felt. Like, you know, I took all of this for nothing if you stopped it, right? She'd be like, oh, man, you stopped the fight. You know, look, I got this big hematoma for nothing. I could have won this fight, right? Or if she did, was ahead, or, you know, even if she, yeah, let's say if she was ahead, fully, you know, no controversy whatsoever, and they stopped the fight because of the hematoma, she probably would have had an emotional breakdown, because she'd be like, y'all just robbed me. Y'all took something away from me. I was in it. My head was in it, even though my head wasn't in it, right? That's kind of what it was like. Her head was in it, even though her head wasn't in it. But, yeah, she was still game. You know, she was still game. But when you look at Lauren Murphy, people argue that could have been stopped because she wasn't offering nothing. There was no puncher's chance. You never rattled Andrade. You never took her down. You know, you just looked done. You just looked done in this fight. It didn't win a single round. So, yeah, whenever people say Joanna made it competitive, she did. You know, she did. She was just in it. Again, like I said, if the doctor saw Joanna's head and they stopped it, for me, I probably would have been like, okay, I understand why. But that's for me. Then going into Joanna's, putting myself in Joanna's shoes, I would have been like, oh, man, like, they took this away from me and I was being competitive, you know. So looking at it in different ways, you'll see how different people feel about it. But to me, I can see why Joanna went all the way through and people just saw that as a competitive fight, because it was, you know. Look at body language. I know, like I said, you got to look at eyes and body language. I think that's what the ref was looking at throughout that fight. That's why nobody really said anything, right? So that's what it is, man, in my opinion. Just two different situations, even with Juliana Pena. Juliana Pena, she got busted up in her fight, but she was still in it. You know, she was still in it, and she was still doing some damage to Nunes. And through the blood, you could still see the fight in her eyes. I never thought Juliana Pena was going to quit. Again, if the blood was too much and the doctor said, that's it, that's his call, I would have been like, okay, I can't argue that. As a fan, I'd say, that's a lot of gore in there. Right. So he knows what he's doing. He's saving the fighter. If he feels like it's time to get him out of there, then fine. You know, so, I mean, there's just so many different ways to look at it. But to me, like, and me, I'm not, definitely not bashing anybody in the corner at this point, because this was what Lauren Murphy wanted. You know, she wanted to go out like this. But I do think that the corner, they do have an important job to say that's enough. That's what they're there for. Not only to guide you and let you know what to do in a fight, but they're the guy that's supposed to say, hey, you know, we need to, you know, chill out. Just like when you go out at night, if you know that you a hothead and you got a partner that's more so laid back, he needs to be that one to tell you, hey, you need to take a step back. You know, hey, let's go out and chill for a little while. You know, stop trying to pick fights in the club. You know, let's just chill. You know, no need to do that. It's not worth it, right? So, yeah, I mean, let me know what y'all think. From here, like I said, I'm kind of on the fence if Lauren Murphy wants to retire at 39. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying she should at this point. As somebody who's watched this sport over 30 years now, going on, over 30 years, you know when it's about time. You know when it's about time now. You know the signs. So I'm kind of on the fence with that. If she does, it would be smart. You don't want to become a punching bag for these other fighters. Yeah, you could probably be a gatekeeper for these other fighters. And I would say, yeah, okay, one more go round against like a Casey O'Neill. If Casey O'Neill wins her fight, you know, that would be a good fight for her. I would have thought the Menon fight would have been good for Lauren, since she talked about her. You know what I mean? Even if she had lost, but that was if she didn't lose in this fashion, right? But since she lost in this fashion, I definitely don't want to see her fight Menon. I think Menon would probably finish her if they fought now, right? So, yeah, man, that's what it is. That's just what it is, man. This happens in the game, and I know we don't want to deny these fighters their chance, but, and yeah, of course, Lauren hasn't suffered a beating like this too many times, but she's taking damage, though. She's taking damage a lot in her career. You know, she's taking some damage. You know, she's got a lot of scar tissue. So, you know, at 39 years old, and yeah, you have a husband and kids, might be time to call it quits, because, you know, there's probably pains that you're not talking about that you have, like Roxy was more so vocal about. You know, she was having, you know, those headaches and things. So, Maybe one more go round. But other than that, if retirement is what she chose, hey, it's probably for the best. We got more flyweights coming up anyway, and we don't want to see anybody die in the cage. I know I don't. But yeah, man, fight game is crazy like that. And there's never like a 100% answer. There's always a safe answer. There's always the right thing to do, I believe, you know, where you can say, let's just go ahead and end it now and avoid any type of serious damage done, you know, like to family and anything like that. Like, avoiding death is what we want. Avoiding death at all costs, that's the number one thing we want. Hey, if we hurt your feelings by stopping a fight, I don't care about that. So if Lauren Murphy hears that, that's how I see it. Like, if I was a corner man, I would have stopped it. I don't care about your feelings in a fight. The whole thing is to save your life, okay? Because you can move on from a fight. You got other things to live for. You can fight another day. You can do whatever. You're still able to do whatever. But if you want to really go out and possibly pass out and or go into a coma, that's on you. But I believe the ultimate thing is to avoid death. You know, avoid you dying in there. That's one thing that the cornerman needs to do, right? All right. As for Jessica Andrade moving forward, I'm gonna do who's next with Jessica Andrade. Yeah, I think I'm gonna record one for her. Andrade, you know, this improved Andrade, definitely gotta take my hat off to her, because that's what we've been wanting. And I think she knows, because she probably watches like a lot of people's videos online and probably has somebody translate them, because I remember she said that people talked about that she had no technique. I remember her saying that. She was like, I'm ready to show what I can do, because she's like, you know, people have been saying I have no technique. So she probably heard it around the way. And we've been saying that. I said that too. I meant to say it. So she would get better. You know what I mean? Like, Andrade purely comes in there Hulk style before. You know, she would come in there and just lose it sometimes. But she fought a very technical fight this time, you know, good balance. So, yeah, she got that. She got that part right. So from here, I don't know, man, like 115 should be the ultimate goal, but she's going to have to get in line behind Lemos. I'm going to say that again, because Lemos deserves her title shot. So from here, move down and maybe fight Rose a third time. That would be good. But I'll save it. I'll save it for the who's next. I think we all know what she needs to do from here is just move back down to strawweight, because that's where I believe title – I believe a title shot is in her cards there, and possibly easier to, I won't say easier, but it's more so winning a title at 115 is more so realistic. Let's put it that way. This version is not beating Valentina, because Valentina is not going to be there to be hit. Okay. All right. Two different fighters. She's not going to be hit like that. So that's not happening. Okay. And last topic here I wanted to talk about with y'all is the whole Irene Aldana as Amanda Nunes' next opponent. I know a few of y'all already told me about this. Of course, one of my followers, Sink, shout out to Sink, he had sent me a message, and Nina Azarov had replied and said, not to him in particular, but she was replying to somebody else, and she said that Amanda is not fighting Aldana, okay? And I think we all knew that. That's why even in my last video I did, I said in the works, right? It's in the works, meaning that it was being talked about. And Irene Aldana took to Twitter and she said that, I feel ready for Amanda, but I can confirm that I don't have any fight done. Still, I don't. But still, I know that there are big chances I could get the offer soon. All right, so she just said it right there. It's not done. You know, there's no fight done yet, but she feels like she could get the offer soon. And I think that's what the UFC is looking at. I mean, it's kind of been a mixed bag here, because I've been seeing some professional MMA media websites posting up that official looking poster with like three title fights on there and two other fights, right? You know, we got John Jones, Ciryl Gane, then we got Nunes versus Aldana, then we got Shevchenko versus Grasso, and the two other fights, I can't remember names right now, but yeah, they've been putting that card up, and that poster looks official, right? So people been using that. So I think that's why a lot of people get mixed up. Like, is this fight on or not? But according to Aldana, it's still not. All right. Now, I personally think that they should just go ahead and make this one. You know, I don't know if they're like battling with Pena right now, you know, because, you know, she's been out there. She's been vocal and she's been talking about she wants this fight. So I don't know if they're just kind of like battling with Pena, trying to decide who should get it. But I think Pena's been doing some other things. You know, she's been doing the commentary and, you know, she's been sitting behind the desk a little bit. You know, why not let Aldana get some shine in between, right? But go ahead and let her get the fight. You know, give the Pena somewhere down the line this year. But, you know, go ahead and let Aldana get some action. You know, I mean, she's on her, what, little win streak. You know, let Aldana go ahead and get it. I mean, I feel like that's fair. You know, just not saying Pena should never get the title shot, but that would give Pena a chance to, you know, work on some things and take a little break and prepare for Amanda Nunes and just re-up your game. You know what I mean? I know Pena likes to fight, but there comes a time where you have to kind of reinvent yourself a little bit too. Like, after watching that last fight, it just made me say that she had nothing to offer when Amanda wanted to step up her game. So Pena's got to step up her game to something new. She's got to do something new as well. You know, she can't be as awkward on the feet anymore. You know, you can't just depend on one type of striking level either. You know, you got to switch your game up. So I wouldn't mind if Aldana stepped in front of her. I know Pena's number one, but Aldana can step in front because they already done this two times. And if with the last fight looked the way it did, Aldana, let her step in, because Pena, just add some more levels to your game and make it count. Make it count, because this is the third time now. Y'all are split, so seem like you'd want to take your time with the third one and say, yo, let's do something big now. We got to prepare 100% for Amanda, because this is the trilogy. We're going to end it here, right? We got to make this a banger. We got to go out with a bang, making sure we get it, right? So let Irene get it in the meantime. I think, you know, Irene will give Amanda a different look. Will she win? I'm still favoring Nunes in this one, but you never know. The boxing can give her trouble. You know, Irene Grasso, they've been working hard at the gym, and Lobo, they've been putting it together, man. So we never know what can happen. But yeah, that's the news right there. Irene said it herself that, hey, it's still being talked about. She feels like the offer could come soon. And I think with the fans' help, maybe she'll get it. Maybe she will get it. All right. So yeah, man. That's pretty much all I got this episode, guys. You know, been on for a little bit, a little shorter than usual. But maybe I'll do an after show. Maybe I'll do an after show. You know, a live right after this one. How would y'all like that? You know, after the podcast, just go ahead and do an after show when this goes off. You know, come back on another live and we'll do a little Q&A and talk together, because I'm chilling today. It's a day off. I'm good. And yeah, that sounds like a plan. Maybe we'll see. We'll see. If I don't get on after, you know, then I ain't doing it. But yeah, guys, my final thoughts, Invicta FC 51, it was a good card. Check it out. It's on YouTube for free. And I want to see Tanisha bounce back, you know, add some more levels to her game, get where she needs to be. Lauren Murphy, I think she shouldn't be so pissed off at the fans or people thinking that she should have been stopped. They're just kind of looking out for the fighter here. You know, we'd rather see you stopped than, you know, laid out and or really damaged. You know what I mean? And, that's kind of where I'm at with it. Andrade, we'll see what's next for her. Aldana, hopefully she gets this shot from here, guys. So, yeah, we'll talk more about it like we do. Make sure y'all subscribe to the channel. Shout out to the new subscribers. Let's go for 3,000 now, y'all. We already at, like, where we at now? Over 2,000 now. So yeah, let's push it to 3,000 now. You know, I think that's going to be a good promotion, good help for WMA fighters and just the sport in general, you know? So yeah, let's keep it going. 3,000 is the goal. Subscribe here, these other platforms as well. You know, if you're on the road, just turn this show on. If you listen to podcasts on the road, like on Spotify or whatever, pull this show up, y'all. Yeah, support it. Support it. You know, support it. If you feel like the women don't get support, hey, I'm trying to support it. So you guys support me. All right. But I'm out, guys. We'll talk more. Combo Breaker 99. Subscribe. Peace.